Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Red Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued and beloved friend. And he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
You know, we talked a little bit about the defense this morning, just the idea that everybody around the nation seemed to be predicting regression, and I personally haven't seen regression. I think we're seeing a unit that has a Pro Bowl level talent at every level, and a unit that that can do a lot of damaging things, and the teams are trying to combat by getting rid of the ball quickly. But, and I don't think this is regression, but they're not getting the same number of takeaways, and maybe this is finally the game where, you know, they always say they come in bunches, where you get a bunch of them, and that would help aid that offense quite a bit, the field position game.
Yeah, and that can be, you know, where there is some regression. And, you know, when you use the word regression, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going from best in the league in terms of takeaways to 25th in the league. You could have regression and go from first to sixth, okay? Because takeaways, that's one of those figures that it's difficult for teams to sustain that from one season to the next. And I think they'll get plenty of them this year. I know they're certainly counting on getting plenty of them this season, but you're right, they've only had one, and that's something that really fueled the 2018 Bears on the way to 12 victories. You recall back to the game in Buffalo last season. I think it was week 9, first weekend in November, and the offense really didn't do much that day. The Bills have got a pretty solid defense. They did last year. They do again this year. But it was a complete blowout. I think the final score was 41-10. It was because they got takeaways left and right in that ball game. So that's what the defense is capable of. 36 takeaways last year. I believe 6 defensive touchdowns. And hopefully they will begin to, as you said, come in bunches.
Brad, hard as Craig Kimbrell might try, Mitch Trubisky remains the most polarizing athlete in town, I think, this week.
I mean, what's Kimbrell got, 7 tanks and 20 innings
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah. But who's, counting?
Because it was the elbow. I'm wondering if the neck hurts now after watching that Matt Carpenter shot go out last night.
But wow. We digress.
Wow.
You're the one digressing.
You did bring it up.
I did bring it up. Okay, it's like we're reading from your text line, Brad. All right, so all right.
I mean, guy's awful. That's money that's been worse spent since Brandon Morrow.
It's a sunk cost.
He's terrible.
All right.
$64 million spent on Kimbrell and Morrow, Brad, just so you know.
How much?
$64 million.
Half of the Brewers' payroll.
Jesus
back Christ. To Trubisky. You were there yesterday. And as you point out in the Tribune column this morning, that he used the word believe 6 times. Like, he's either trying to convince the audience or convince himself to believe in what he's capable of doing Monday night against the Redskins. What was your takeaway from listening to Mitch yesterday?
You know, I thought he was pretty good in the press conference as a whole. And, you know, when you haven't played well, what do you have to fall back on? Well, you talk about the good things they've done in practice. And Matt Nagy's talked about the good things they've done in practice. So they do have this belief, and they think they're close. And that's all they have to go on right now, though. And they need to go out and they need to put together a performance where I think it's going to give Trubisky and the rest of the offense, because those guys are struggling too, no question about that, some confidence that they can have that confidence rooted in a performance against another team, not just what they're doing next to the train tracks in the woods in Hallis Hall in practice. So decent press conference for Mitch, but words don't matter. It's about going out and performing. And as bad as he's been, and he's really struggled, the Redskins' defense has been atrocious, guys. You start sifting through the numbers for that Redskins' defense, it's just brutal. Giving up 78% completion percentage to opponents, 64% on third downs. They've got two sacks through two games. They're giving up chunk plays. They can't stop the run. I mean, you name it. Everything in the playbook should work Monday night in Washington.
I'm confused. Practice? I thought they had decided not to practice. I thought that was part of the problem with this season.
No, that was they didn't want to scrimmage. Really.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The practice they're all in on.
Okay, so they're good in the drills. They just can't translate.
We're talking about practice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. No, I'm just kidding around. Mitch has become a national story, and you say, if not now, when? And he says that, hey, listen, you know, we all believe, and we're one unit, and they believe in me.
You have to believe this is going to be the week.
And what if it isn't?
Well, if it isn't this week,
then it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, the Bears are going to have a crisis on their hands, in my opinion. They really are. Because, I mean, this Redskins defense, it's that bad, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ryan Kerrigan is one of their better players. Jonathan Allen up front, good player. Allen was held out of practice with a knee injury yesterday. I mean, they're starting John Bostic at middle linebacker.
John Bostic, still around. How about that?
I mean, no instincts. So
he'll hit you, though.
Yeah, if he can. Yeah.
If he can find you. Yeah,
but it's just
wow.
I think it's a perfect time on the schedule for this opponent, and I think the Bears can go in there and take care of business. But Mitch has been bad in prime time,
right?
You know, he's got 5 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions, and 6 night games. Of course, the Redskins can't win on Monday night at all, really. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They need to come out of there with a victory, but it would help them if they could come out with a victory and get some style points along the way. Again, to get some confidence going and maybe change the narrative a little bit.
You know, Brad Mully, I asked you about the defense, and you look at the Bilal Nichols going to miss the game with the hand. Broken hand, and I think that you almost forget, not about that he's a starter, but boy, Roy Robertson Harris has been a guy in two games that I think has continued the momentum. And you saw last year he had a really strong season, and this year he looks almost at times to be benefiting from something. Maybe it's just him, but it looks like he's benefited from the attention paid Hicks and Mack and Leonard Floyd, because he has flashed. And so I don't know, what about that position that are they going to miss with Nichols, if anything?
Well, I think Nichols is a steady guy, and a guy they trust. You know, why is he in the starting lineup? Because he's a guy that's hitting his assignment. You know, if his assignment is to just hold up the offensive lineman so someone else can make a play, he's doing that consistently. That's why he's in the starting lineup. Roy Robertson Harris has flashed for sure, especially in the opener against the Packers. And I've been advocating for, you know, that I think the guy is deserving of more playing time, and this creates a situation where he's likely going to get more playing time. Now he needs to capitalize on it, and you can't just, you know, flash in week one and then show something in week four. You know, this is a big opportunity for Roy. And the Nichols thing will be interesting, because the good news is Matt Nagy said – they don't look at this as a situation that could lead to injured reserve where Nichols would miss half the season. So that's a real positive. But as they saw last year with Leonard Floyd, when you take a defensive guy and you try to put a club on him and have him go out and play football, that's difficult. And Leonard really struggled with it. And certainly guys in the trenches, defensive linemen, they need to be able to have the use of both of their hands to deal with offensive linemen. So a little unclear at this point how long Nichols will miss, but Robertson Harris is clearly going to be in line to play more, and a huge moment and opportunity for him, a guy who, you know, previous to this has been playing, you know, maybe about a third of the snaps, and so should be exciting for him and exciting to watch, because you're right, he's a guy that gets to take advantage of the fact that the opponent is going to focus on some other players on that defense, and Roy has some really incredible athletic ability in his own right.
All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Have a good weekend, Brad.
Have a great weekend.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. We're going to get back to your phone calls, talk about the Cubs game last night, talk about the performance by some individuals. What did you think of the fact that everyone came back? And was that a plus in your mind, given the Rizzo home run? Is it a negative in your mind, given what happened with Craig
Kimbrel? It was a
newsy
day. Yeah, when Len Casper filling in on the radio called it one of the newsiest days of the year, if not the newsiest day of the year, with everything that happened. You get Rizzo back, you got Baez back, you got Kimbrel back, and you got Addison Russell as well.
Yeah.
He's back.
Wow. We haven't talked about him at all. I wonder why.
Well, he's off concussion protocol.
Yeah, but we haven't talked about him.
Well, Nico Horner's a big reason why.
Cost him $100,000. 3-1-2-6.
Roger Clemens is in George's box.
And Rossi was in Theo's box. So
with the peanut butter.
Draw your own conclusions. What was going on with the peanut
butter? The peanut butter. You could see in the picture that in the background there were two jars of peanut butter. Skippy and Jiffy, I think, right? I think
it's a nice, you know, high protein snack. You know, these guys are trying to keep in good shape.
You
still
just don't think you're going to see that in an executive's, you know, luxury suite.
You don't think you're going to see Roger Clemens either. That's for sure.
George's box.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That's all you can do. I mean, listen, again, it was not looking very good at all going into the ninth. And then give our guys credit to making it 4-4. And then actually, like I said, Nico puts a good at-bat on him and hits it right at the center fielder. So, and beyond that, and like I said, we before the game, talked about Craig, and he actually threw the ball really well. Just, again, hit the guy's bat. So overall, you just got to incorporate the 30-minute rule and come back tomorrow.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. That was, of course, Joe Maddon with Kebbo interrupting him with his silly giggle.
Rudely.
Rudely.
Giggle. Yeah.
Hey, I giggled off the air, I'll have you know. That was just in your guys' ear.
Oh, okay. Might need a little more than 30 minutes to digest that one, though, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, that's gonna leave a little bit of a mark.
Hey, David, we are having a Cubs emergency broadcast right now, and it was an emergency after last night. We did not get a chance to talk to Nick Kostos.
Oh, yeah.
This morning. He, of course, host of the You Better You Bet podcast available on the radio.com app. Not for young ears. Picks for this weekend from Nick. And, of course, Monday night, he's got Georgia to cover against Notre Dame. He's got Northwestern to cover against Michigan State. He has the under and the Bears Redskins. He has the Bears winning and the Steelers, Broncos, Lions, all underdogs that he likes to cover on Sunday.
All right. That's good.
Just want to make sure
and we did
get
not
that
talk
out
to him today because we were dealing with the Cubs crisis du jour,
yes,
and it seems pretty bleak. And that game last night.
It seems beyond du jour, doesn't it?
Well,
not
you know,
just
it's
today.
Just hard because of everything that went into last night. It was emotionally exhausting for Cubs fans because you were up, Anthony Rizzo hits the homer, he does his Kirk Gibson imitation, and then they fall behind, and then they come back, and then they fall behind, and then, you know, there are a lot of things that were frustrating about last night, but
yes,
I can't get past a couple things, and I don't want to pick on him, but Kyle Schwarber had a bad night.
Oh, boy.
Not only on the base paths, not only in the field.
Yeah.
3-0. He's sitting there 3-0, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then he's got the green light. And I get it. They're talking about giving him the green light. And then he struck out. And then that was not a great at bat.
Well,
that was a pivotal time in that game.
At least he didn't yell at the pitcher.
See, now I didn't have a biggest problem with that the night before because of who the pitcher was.
Oh, I thought that was hysterical. Did you see what he did after Schwarber yelled at him?
Yeah.
He sprinted off the field.
He's like, kind of a clown, though.
But that was kind of funny.
He's kind of a clown, Amir Garrett.
I know, but you can't yell at a guy because you didn't like the fact that he celebrated a huge strikeout.
Yes, you can. Because the guy's kind of a clown.
I don't know.
I don't have a problem with that. I have more of a problem with Schwarber in that situation in the game in the ninth with...
Why do you have beef with Amir Garrett? What's he ever done to you?
He's a guy that was like in the midst of that whole ruckus. Didn't he go, like, he was in this.
He was involved in that Pirates brawl.
Yeah.
But maybe he just knew stuff then that we didn't know. He was trying to beat up that pedophile that they have.
Oh, my God.
Well, if it comes out that that's the case, Kevbo, then
he's
I will stand corrected.
Wow.
And I will eat my words, just like I'm being made to eat my words about Craig Kimbrough.
Don't speak of such matters lightly. That's one of the horror stories. As I said earlier, is it better to have a murderer in your locker room or to have a guy like that? I mean, it seems like both of them are people who don't belong in society, let alone professional sports.
And I apologize. I don't mean to make light of the situation.
Yeah.
But Amir Garrett is fine.
Yeah, you had no problem
with
that.
I like him.
But my only point is that, you know, poor Schwarber had been red hot, and now he seems to be struggling a little bit. I don't know if it's related, but certainly the frustration is palpable.
Well, the reason he probably had the green light on 3-0 was because there was a sense that he could hit a home run and end everything.
Yes.
And he was going to be the hero because he had been that hot. And in the second half, he has the OPS that's off the charts. He has 37 home runs and 91 run batted in. I know what his WAR is, people. Stop texting. I think he's been an asset.
He's been carrying the team.
Yes.
And then when he doesn't carry the team,
it stands out.
It does stand out. And that was a bad night for him. No way around it.
It did.
That was terrible to get picked off at third. And they made a lot of excuses about it. There's nothing you can do if the pitcher's going to make a play. Well, of course you're going to get picked off.
He's a good athlete.
And then, oh, that was great.
Flaherty really fields position well.
Listen, wish he was in town on the south side with his high school teammate. But then when he couldn't field that ball properly and the ball bounced on him or whatever it was, they said at first that he was looking up when the ball came. It actually hit the heel of the glove and it popped up and then he gets it. He throws and the throw isn't very good because of all that happened
because
to get there.
Because of all that. That's frustrating.
And when that run scores, that at the time seemed like a very debilitating moment.
Because it was the second night in a row that you saw a defensive fundamental mistake by Schwarber. And I don't like picking on him because I like the player. I like what he's done for the Cubs.
He's
been
great.
He's kind of had a renaissance type of season, especially in the second half. But that was really hard to watch, especially the defensive miscue. Wasn't like a fast runner was going either. And that, you know, if you have execution, you make that play.
Yeah, and I think whether it was Schwarber or Joe that gave him the green light there in the ninth, I think that was a bad decision too, because Carlos Martinez could not find the plate. He was already on the ropes. He had already given up the walk, the hit. He's up 3-0. I think that was a mistake too. Whether that was Joe or Kyle's call, I don't know. But I think that was another miscue from Schwarber's last night.
Especially because it was just right after you had him on the ropes. You felt like that was, you know, you were going to have that moment that you were texting about, Molly. You were going to have that walk-off moment, and this was going to have the happy ending to that script, that the Anthony Rizzo game, when he came back, and whether he was sandbagging, as you say, or whatever, he fought through whatever pain he was dealing with to get on the field because it mattered. Because last night was the biggest game of the season. And it ended up being the toughest loss of the year. So that's what you're dealing with today. And 30-minute rule, maybe you deal with it for 30 minutes and you move on. But I think easier said than done if you're the Cubs.
Yeah, I don't argue with that. But the good news is, and I take it as good news, they lose that game in 10 innings. And that's obviously bad news. But you come back and the pregame starts here on the Score at 12:45 and the actual start of the game at 1:20, that allows you have no choice but to live by the 30-minute rule. You got a game. You got you face yet another must-win game, and it's this afternoon, so you don't have to wait. You don't have to have a sleepless night. You got to get the hell up and get to the ballpark and get the job done. Another must-win game. Now they have to win. We said they had to win 3 out of 4. As we feared,
that's it.
They lost the Flaherty game, right? So now you just move on, and you say, got to win today. And by the way, Colton Wong is out, so that's unless Carpenter comes on and hits the game-winning home.
Carpenter nails Cubs.
You know? That was a nice headline.
I like the way you're looking at that because, yeah, you get a chance to go at it again real quickly. You don't have to let that linger as much. But wouldn't you like to have a couple extra hours for Rizzo's ankle to heal? Because you don't know how he's going to wake up this morning. You don't know how much pain he's going to be in.
I know how he's going to wake up this morning.
Sore.
He's going to wake up with a tub of ice, and you just put your foot in it as you step up. You have that ice tub waiting for you. You get out of bed right into it, and you sit there for 30 minutes. If you have to grab the bucket and hop your way into the loo to get your morning constitution done, you got that foot in a bucket of ice. You understand?
There's a visual none of our listeners needed right there.
We've all been there.
You went there.
Theater of the mind.
There you go.
Mr. Brussels Sprouts.
I could be on the crude cast.
I'm fired up. I'm ready to go play. We need Zach at 12:45, and all of our woes will be solved.
Zach will get you ready.
That's right.
Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Always a delight to welcome in our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. He's with 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He's our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Joe. How
morning,
are you, buddy?
Joe.
Yeah, boys. Happy Friday. I was thinking about this morning. I know you've had plenty to talk about regarding the offense, regarding last week's game, but I mean, Monday night this week, you open the season on Thursday night. Week two, you're in one of these prime afternoon spots. Say what you want about what's happened with the Bears through the first couple weeks, but I mean, it's nothing but primetime games for this team. Like, you've got to be excited about the fact that they are constantly being highlighted on the national stage.
It just means staying up later, Joe. I don't know. You know how that one goes.
That's the all-time great debate of where you would rather live to watch some of these games. Growing up on the East Coast and now living on the West Coast, there is something that is very rewarding about starting your Sunday drinking at 9:30 a.m., and then wrapping it all up by 9 p.m. and being able to get a good night's sleep.
But, Joe, what's going on with the line in that game? It started off, I think, at 6.5, and now it's down to, what, 3.5?
I'm looking at 4. 4 is what we're looking at right now. I would say that this is an indicator of two things. Number one, what I'm sure you've been talking about all week, the Chicago offense and its inability to consistently sustain drive while hanging points. And number two, a little bit of what you saw last night in Jacksonville. I know it wasn't a pretty game, but when you have these primetime games with home dogs, especially teams that have been struggling, these are get-up games. Like Jacksonville last night, you wouldn't have thought that they were 0-2 and it looked pathetic coming into that game the way they had played last night. But they looked outstanding. It was a sloppy game, but they jumped on them early and they controlled it for pretty much 58 minutes of the action, having scored that touchdown almost 2 minutes in. So what you're looking at is a Washington team that they're 0-2, backs against the wall, primetime game at home, always going to see some money in the NFL in those situations.
I wonder, when you say that, Joe, when you say it's a get-up game, does that mean that this looks like a beatable opponent? This is just the season on the brink? What does it mean?
If we were talking about a team like Tennessee, or maybe even a little bit better, a slightly above-average team, this could be one of those spots where you think to yourself, and you'd start looking at Washington and trying to build the case. But the beautiful thing about the Chicago Bears is that defense. And defense is travel. You saw it last week. You saw it last season. This team is so good defensively that when it comes to a possible trap spot like Monday night in Washington, it's very difficult for me to build the case. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to look at Case Keenum and think all of a sudden he's just going to march up and down the field in Jay Gruden's offense against these guys? granted, Mitchell Trubisky and the offense could struggle, but when we're looking at this from a betting perspective, it's very difficult for me to make the case for Washington. Now, you're getting four in a game that's lined with a total of about 41, 41.5, so they're telling you low scoring. So if we find ourselves in a situation like we saw last week with Denver, you could see the Bears playing great on defense, winning this game 17-13, winning this game 13-10, and the Redskins end up covering. I can't find myself getting behind the Redskins going up against this defense. So if I were to play it, and there's nothing I really love here, I would, of course, look to the under, which is what you're going to have a lot of individuals doing every time they approach the Bears now, based on what we saw the first 2 weeks. But I would also look to the under on the Washington team total. Based on the current spread, based on the current total, Washington's total point should be about 18.5. I don't see them putting 19 on the board against the Bears. I would say that what we've seen the first 2 weeks from Chicago, the offense has had its issues, but Green Bay's defense has looked half decent, and you ran into a good Denver defense last week as well. This is an opportunity to light it on fire. This is a team that the Redskins got torched by Philadelphia in the second half in week one and by Washington or by Dallas last week. So that would be obviously your talking points for next Monday or next Tuesday. If you can't put 21-plus on the board against these guys, it might be a bigger problem. But I would assume the defense does what it's supposed to. I think you'll be able to get the running game going. I do not see the Washington Redskins getting the 19 points in that game.
All right, Joe, let's stay in the NFL. What other games do you like?
All right, big college week last week. We struggled a little bit on the NFL. The game I like the most is one that I think most of the sharp guys are going to be on. It's going to be Baltimore plus the points at Kansas City. Game open, Kansas City minus 6.5. It's down to 6. I was really hoping it would get to 7. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. A lot of people are going to be tempted to tease Kansas City down. They're 2-0. They score a lot of points. They're coming home for the first time this season. I'm very iffy on all that. I love Baltimore in this spot for a variety of reasons. Baltimore went to Kansas City last year and gave the Chiefs all they could handle. They lost 27-24 in overtime. 27 points was the second lowest total Kansas City put up all season. Mahomes was sacked 3 times, second most on the season. Mahomes put up his second worst passer rating of the season in that game as well. And that was Lamar Jackson's third or fourth start of his career, and it was in Marty Morningweg's bootleg offense rather than the offense he's running with Greg Roman. Now, people will look to the Ravens and say, yeah, well, you beat up on Miami and Arizona. It's not all that impressive. Sure, but think of it from a college football standpoint. You're working out a new offense with a young quarterback. You got 2 patsies to open the season. You didn't even have to show the entire offense, and you got to work out some of the kinks. John Harbaugh got his start as the special teams coach under Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He knows him as well as anybody. A lot of the wise guys are going to be on this one. I'm playing Baltimore plus the points. I'll also have a little on the money line. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if the Ravens win this game. 2 others I'm going to give you right now. I don't love them, but I'm going to play them. Indianapolis minus 1 over Atlanta. If Nelson Aguilar catches that pass like a first-round wide receiver in his 5th season is supposed to do, the Eagles win that game, and Atlanta's 0-2. And Atlanta's probably feeling good that they won that game. I know they were excited at the end. Philly was so banged up. How many guys did they lose in that game? If Atlanta was the real deal, 0-1 Sunday night against a hated opponent who lost all those guys to injury, they should have throttled down, and they didn't. So now they're going to leave Atlanta, and this has always been a problem for them. Even though they're playing in the dome, look at their yards per play. Look at their scoring. It drops precipitously once they get out on the road. This is going to be no different. The Colts are being viewed, I think they're being undervalued by a lot of people. They went and gave the Chargers all they could handle in week one. They beat Tennessee in week two. A lot of people see the Luck retirement and packed it in on them. Jacoby Brissett is a legitimate quarterback. I'm not saying he's a top-tier quarterback, but he understands the game. He understands the offense. He's got good coaching. He's got a good defense around him. I'll lay the point with Indianapolis over Atlanta. Third game. I'm not sure how excited I am about this yet, but I'm passing it along because I know it's popular in Vegas. You've seen a big move on this. It's Arizona laying 2.5 against Carolina. Now, it's tough. Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray laying 2.5 points based on what we've seen so far, but they haven't been dreadful. Defensively, this is a team that struggles. Carolina's had 10 days to get ready, but it doesn't look like they're going to have Cam Newton. There seem to be some bigger issues with the Panthers than they're letting on. Rivera left his press conference early the other day. He didn't want to answer any more Newton questions. It doesn't feel right in Carolina. It's a bad start. 0-2 after 2 home games. That is a bad start. This is the spot for Arizona to go out and get its first win. I know a lot of guys are looking at it like that. So the three games I'd give you, Baltimore plus six, Indy minus one, the Cardinals minus 2.5. If you're looking to play teasers, I take Buffalo. I'd knock them from six down to a pick 'em. Bills are 2-0 after two road games for the first time in franchise history. My wife is from Western New York. I married into this Bills Mafia thing with these lunatics burning each other on fire and slamming each other through tables. It's a very beautiful thing, but they're coming home 2-0 to Ralph Wilson Stadium. That place is going to be rocking. Covering six is one thing, but winning the game outright against Cincinnati, who looked very sloppy last week, I'm confident in that. And if you need to tease it together with something, find Minnesota if they're at 8.5 or better. Don't tease from minus 9 to 3. That's very dangerous. But if you can find 8.5, tease it down to 2.5. They'll be able to beat the Raiders, who are going to be on the road from now until the beginning of November. Or you could look at Houston and take them from plus 3 up to plus 9 against the Chargers. Houston's good enough to win that game outright. 9 points should be more than plenty. So Buffalo is a great teaser option. You can put them together with Houston or Minnesota, but Minnesota's got to be 8.5 or lower, so you can tease it through the key number of 7 as well as the key number of 3.
What about college? You love winning in college, Joe.
Yeah, D-Gen specials here. I got a big card. I narrowed it down to the stuff that would feature the games I like the most, plus at least one of the popular games, which I know will be big in Chicago. We had a good week last week. We're going to start tonight. I'm going to lay the 3.5 with Utah at USC. Now, the line's moving against me, and people once again are trying to make the USC case. I don't understand why. Clay Helton's not a good coach. This is not a good team. They just went to BYU and lost last week. Now, Utah went to BYU laying 4 to open the season, and they won and covered in convincing fashion. Now they're going to go to USC, who couldn't beat Utah, and they're going to lay a similar price, if not lower. Utah is the cream of the Pac-12, and that's not saying a whole lot, but this team can control the line of scrimmage. They got the best defensive line in college football. I don't see USC getting away with a whole lot here. Clay Helton knows he's dead man walking. I don't know if he's going to be able to rally the troops. I'll lay the points with Utah tonight. Then we're going to take that money and we're going to roll it over tomorrow. The two games I like the most, laying the 14 with Temple over Buffalo. We're not getting the best price here. Buffalo's awful. They've had a couple really good seasons, but now they're in this total rebuild. They lost to FBS Liberty last week. They can't complete a lot of passes. They look very sloppy on both sides of the ball. Temple's got an experienced quarterback in Anthony Russo. The defense has been dominating. Dominating. I think Temple absolutely rolls Buffalo, and I think Oregon's going to roll Stanford as well. You're laying 10.5 on the road there. This number's already jumped up. If you remember what happened last season in Eugene, Ducks were up big at the half. They got jobbed a couple times by the officials. I don't necessarily believe in that, but that's one of the narratives. Stanford came all the way back to win that game. Stanford stinks this season. All the trademarks that make Stanford Stanford don't exist. They don't have a good offensive line. They don't have a good running game. They're not physical enough on defense. They've gotten trashed on the road the last 2 weeks. This is going to be too much. They don't have the firepower to keep up with Oregon if Oregon gets up on them early. And it's a total revenge spot here, so I'm going to lay the points with the Ducks. So the three I like the most, it'll be Utah minus 3.5 at USC tonight, Temple minus the points at Buffalo, Oregon minus the points at Stanford. Two others I'll throw your way. Everyone's going to be looking at Michigan, Wisconsin. I play under 45 points there. That just feels like a physical game in the trenches, lots of punts, trying to run the football. Harbaugh's offense looks absolutely dreadful. Under 45 points there. And then if you want some fireworks, over 72.5 between Oklahoma State and Texas. A lot of people are going to make the Texas case here. I'll tell you this. If you look at Oklahoma State the first 3 weeks, they got a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback. They've been testing a lot of things out. They've been putting a lot of points on the board. Granted, it's not against great competition, but they have had 3 weeks to work out a lot of this new offense, and they've looked very good in the process. So I'd play the over in Oklahoma State, Texas, and the under in Michigan, Wisconsin as well.
Real quick, Joe, Notre Dame, Georgia, that's a big number, 14.5.
Really big. I hate the idea of going against Georgia. They're one of the best teams in college football. I could see this game looking very similar to what happened with Notre Dame and Clemson last year. It's not one I love. I lean to Georgia, but I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame was able to muck it up. I also have a lean to the under in that game as well, if Notre Dame is able to assert itself a little bit.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe, you are the best, buddy. Thank you.
Have a great
weekend.
Love
you, boys. Go Bears. I'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, pal. That's great stuff. That's
good information there.
Joe Fortmo. Always love to talk to Joe. He's just his enthusiasm and his
hand cramp writing down everything he's saying.
Good young man who's gone through hell.
It's been through hell, but he's a very bright young man.
We'll bring in another bright man next.
Yes,
with
bright
Bruce.
Young man.
Yeah, bright young man.
Could, you know, depending on where you're at with it.
Bruce Levine was at the Cubs game last night. We'll talk to him next.
Mully and Hall on the score.
He actually threw the ball really well. Just again hit the guy's bat.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.